We have a huge Pentagon budget that's geared to trying to convince people that, you know, money for weapons is the most important thing, and that the more expensive the weapon, the better it is. That, in fact, of course, is totally false. The most important thing in winning wars, far more important than anything else, is the quality of your people, how well they're trained, you know, how skillful they are, the number of them, of course, counts. All that is vastly more important. Second most important is the ideas you use in order to employ them, that is, the strategy and the tactics. Hmm. And a distant third to all that is the weapons. This is not to say that we should provide our people with bad weapons, not at all. It's just to place it in perspective, you know, our first investment should always be in our people. Our first and our largest investment should be in people, and we should never lose sight of the fact that any weapon that makes it harder to train people is automatically a bad idea.
And have we lost sight of that?
Totally. Totally. In the tremendous incentives created by this huge defense budget to keep on maximizing cost, that gets buried. Hmm. That simply gets buried.
Your rule number two is that not all weapons are equally important in war. And I think some people, when they go and buy a nice bottle of wine, they say, oh, the more expensive one must be better. That's not always true. The parallel exists for weapon systems, too.
Totally. First of all, the most expensive of any kind of weapon system is rarely the best. Usually it's one of the worst. But even more important is the idea that, you know, some of the small-ticket weapons may be the dominant ones in winning war. The big-ticket ones may be almost irrelevant. Simple example. A $250 rifle is far more important to winning a war than a $5 million anti-aircraft missile. A $15 million close-support airplane is far more important to whether we win or lose, whether we support our troops properly, than a $2 billion bomber. So the importance of weapons in war is unrelated to their cost, and you shouldn't be mesmerized by the big ticket items. And a little corollary to that is, the bigger the ticket of the item, the greater the mountain of BS surrounding it.
A lot of marketing goes into those big weapons, I would guess.
It sure does. And that's my chapter is an attempt to help people fight their way through that mountain of misinformation.
And yet there are some very expensive weapons that have been very effective in and been very a potent ally in for warfighters in winning wars.
Not many.
Really?
Not many. The biggest ticket items in most wars have been the most irrelevant. A classic example is battleships. Battleships probably had more to do with the start of World War I than anything else, because they were the huge ticket items of the war. And tiny submarines that cost 1/40th of what the battleship cost, about 30 of them, bottled up, you know, something on the order of 300 battleships and cruisers in harbors to be totally useless for the entire duration of World War I. That's a classic example.
Let me ask you about your rule number three. You say you can't tell effective weapons from useless ones without a clear definition of each combat essential effectiveness characteristic and what definition must be derived directly from combat evidence. This one was one that it was more difficult for me to understand.
It's a very simple idea. It's, you know, again, the defense business will try to convince you there's all kinds of arcane engineering stuff behind designing great weapons and making them effective. The truth of the matter is, the first and most reliable, and in most cases the only source of ideas about how to make a weapon better come from actual combat experience. You have to immerse yourself in the combat experience to figure out what makes a weapon more effective. You can't do it with a bunch of, you know, instrumented test results and a bunch of engineering theories. And if you can't sort through the combat that you're talking about, let's take something very simple. Infantry rifle firefights, they're at the heart of every war. They're probably the single most important form of combat. If you can't figure out what's going on in a firefight, you can't make a decent rifle. And sadly, even people who've been involved in combat to some extent, but gun designers and so on, very rarely come to grips with what an infantryman does in a firefight. So you get these kind of abstract notions that have nothing to do with real combat.